Wonderful, wonderful. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 2 through 12. I'll give you a moment to find that. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 2 through 12. I'll be reading this morning out of the New International Version. Once you found it, please say amen.
Amen.
Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. He built up the fortified cities of Judah. Since the land was at peace, no one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. Let us build up these towns, he said to Judah, and put walls around them with towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah, equipped with large shields and with spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, armed with small shields and with bows. All these were brave fighting men. Zerah and Gushite marched out against them with a vast army and 300 chariots, and came as far as Marashah. Asa went out to meet him, and they took up the battle positions in the valley of Zephathah near Marashah. Then Asa called to the Lord God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name, we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Verse 12. The Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled, and Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar. And such a great number of Cushites fell that they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord and his forces. The men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder. Amen. Amen. The voice we'll hear after our special selection will be that of Pastor Arthur Morgan.
There's a question I'd like to ask this morning. I'll give you a prize if you can answer the question. Why do they put clocks in the back of the church? Why do they put clocks in the back of the church? I know you understand why. It's for the preacher, not you. The clock is here looking at me this morning, and I can't speak with the clock. Now, there's something that it's rather strange. When I'm at home and I'm speaking or playing the organ, my wife says, too loud. Too loud, cut it down. When I'm in church, it says, speak up. So I'm betwixt and between like Paul. So I hope you can hear me a little. And if you can't, raise your hand or perhaps ask someone later on. Now, Elder McKnight is with us here. And I'm glad to see him again, because when I was in the office and the Liberty Magazine campaign was on, I'd run downstairs checking the mail. do we have the report from Rochester? And if it didn't come in, my heart would sink a little. We're near to the goal, and then they called and said, Pastor, Rochester's goal is in. And they would always almost have almost as much as the conference. So it's glad to see him here this morning. And I don't have a church I can't take him away from you. So we hope we can worship together. In the scripture reading this morning, in the book of the Chronicles, I want to take time to talk in one of the verses. The prayer of the king of Asa. O Lord, our God, we wait on thee. And in thy name, we go against this multitude. Here is a picture of the night before the battle. Here was Asa, king of Judah, and his brave army, caught and cornered, with enemy battalions to the right, to the left, and all around them. No chance of extricating himself from the trap. No mercy if they would ask for a truce. No expedient thing to do but to throw themselves into battle and sell their lives as dearly as they could. As the hours passed by, so slowly the night, I would like for you to use your imagination. Here are the men, little groups, many reflecting upon the times they enjoyed on the hillside of Galilee. Some were thinking of the last minute when the children hugged them and said, Daddy, please hurry and come home. Of the wives whose hope that they would return from the battle unharmed. There were memories that left aching voids as they thought of what was before them. The night is passing. The morning star signals the birth of another day. From around the campfire, the men listened as the sentinel cried out, Watchman, what of the night? And the watchman replied, The morning cometh. The men are now buckling on their armors. Some perhaps are smiling in the face of death. Some are silent. Some are asking perhaps the question, Where is the king? Shouldn't he be with us, encouraging us, giving us the last pep talk? Where is the king? And perhaps someone replied, He's in his tent on his knees in prayer. The writer says, And Asa cried unto the Lord. Perhaps as the night passed on, the morning is coming, the king walks from his tent. There's a mysterious tranquility in his soul. The hour had come. Of a surety by logic, the odds were against him. But Asa did what all leaders should do, and all of us should do, in the midst of a crisis. He prayed, O Lord our God, we wait on you. It's nothing for you to help. We wait on you. And in thy name, we go against this multitude. And as you read, the scripture was read this morning, and the Lord slew the Ethiopians. Not Asa, the Lord did it for them. Yes. Reading the story in the book of the Chronicles is somewhat relevant to us today against this multitude. We live in a world of sunshine and shadows, of pleasure and pain, of disappointed hope and joyful aspirations. The web of life is tangled at best. The patterns of life are confused and conflicting. Just when you think you have it made, something comes to smash your plans. Just when you think you have the answer to all the problems, you find you do not have the question is still being asked. We sometimes ask ourselves the question, why is this mysterious anomaly of good and ill? By no human logic are we able to explain. The web of life is indeed tangled at best. Why, if I have given to the Lord the best of my service, if I have given my heart and my life to God, why should these things happen to me? This multitude. Why should we face the multitude of anxieties and complications? The economic, the social, the 1,000 or more demands which threaten our faith and corrupt our consecration. Instead of preaching this morning, I would like to repeat this text over and over again. And I hope you will today, not just today, tomorrow, but on and on. When you're confronted with great problems in life, the enemy is stealing your joy, just say, "Oh Lord, our God, we wait on you. And in thy multitude, we go against this multitude." However daunting and daring the future may seem, like Esther, we may be surrounded by a battalion of hard-featured facts. We should, we must, stabilize our staggering spirit with the shout, "Oh Lord, our God, we wait on you. And in thy power we face the future." Esther did what leaders do, and all of us should do each day. See, prayer is a tremendous activity, for it means letting the divine on the human situations, supplying that which is needed in our lives. It means lifting up the conflict in direct contact with the supernatural. By prayer, men have shaken kingdoms. By prayer, dead hopes become resurgent. By prayer, Ezekiel's dry bone became a mighty army. We say it each day, "Oh, for faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty and woe. A faith that shines more bright and clear when dangers rage without, that in the hour of grief or pain or fear can lean upon his God." I hear these words. I heard them. I believe in the power of these words. I experience the power of these words. "Thou shalt keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Yes, a peace which assures us victory. Oh Lord, our God, we wait on thee. Amen. And in thy name, we go against this multitude. Increase our faith when we are feeling feeble and helpless. Spirit of God, drive it home to our hearts today. Not just today, but tomorrow and the days to come. We need not fear the battle of life if God is on our side. Nor wander from the pathway if he's still our guide. This is a sacred truth worthy of acceptance. Just some months ago, I wasn't that concerned, but I guess some of you were who have money in the bank, had money in the bank. We heard us falling over the cliff. And I turned the television on, it was all, "We are falling over the cliff." It didn't bother me too much, because I know the prayer of Esther was in my heart. "Oh Lord, our God, we wait on you. And in thy name we face this multitude." Yes. Many ask, "Well, how will the church get along if we fall over the cliff?" And I had one answer for them, found in Daniel, I think, 11:32. It said, "The people that love their God shall do great exploits." George Rainey told me a story, a friend of mine. He did an effort in Florida, and a young man decided to give his heart to the Lord. He had a job as a helper with a landscape group, just a minimum wage, maybe lower than the minimum.
And so he accepted, he decided to give his, he gave his heart to the Lord. And I couldn't work on the Sabbath anymore. Well, the man fired him. And when the crew went back to this lady's estate, a rich lady, she said, "Where's the young man?" The boss said, "Well, I fired him because he doesn't work on Saturday." She said, "Where does he live?" And they told her where the young fellow lived. She drove down to the place beyond the railroad track and found him. She said, "I want to get in my car. I have a large estate. You will be the overseer with a very good salary." Amen. "And what do you drive?" What do you call, the young people call it, jalopy?
Jalopy.
She pointed to it. She said, "Come with me." Went to the car dealer. She said, "Give him a new car." Amen. All paid for. Amen. That wasn't all. She said, "I have a large property. I want to build a home in it for you." She went to the architect to design a home. And George Rainer said, "Pastor, I slept in the home. I drove in the car." I say, when we are faced with crisis, let's repeat the word of Esau. "Oh Lord, our God, we wait on thee. And in thy name we face the future." The church can never be poor. Don't worry about being poverty. You see, a vast deposit of riches is laid up in the bank of heaven for you and for me. The bank is dated BW, before the world was. The assets are tremendous. The silver and the gold, he said, they're all mine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And all he's saying to you, with the key, prayer, the key in the hand of faith, walk in the bank and take what you want. But you know the problem is, it happened to me once. Person was giving me a gift. And I said, "Well, I'd be conscientious. I just take it was, well, I can tell you who it was. It was Jim Gilley when he had the place in Texas. I went to visit him. He said, "Take some tapes." But I said, "I will be conscientious to myself. I'll take a few." And so I took, he looked at me strange, and I thought, did I take too much? I took 10. He said, "Do you want some tape?" "Oh yes, I'm having some tape." "Take a whole box." See, we limit God. We go to the Lord asking for his blessing with a little can, a little tin can, when the banks of heaven are open. You have his promise. "I will supply your need according to my riches." Now, if Mr. Bill Gates told me to go, he'll supply my needs according to his riches. Believe me, I take next week off and the other week trying to spend some money. But if you say to me, "Pastor Morgan, if I tell you I'm going to give you something according to my riches," you might ask the question, "Can I order a loaf of bread?" But the God of heaven who supplies all the riches said, "I will supply you according to my riches."
Come on now.
All you have to do, the banks are open day and night, 24 hours a day, is to walk in faith and make your claim.
Yes.
Oh Lord, our God, we rest on you. We sing that song, "The Lord will make a way for you." But how many times we spend the time trying to make a way for ourselves rather than put it in the hand of God? I said, nothing will please our Heavenly Father more than to have a daily, hourly run upon his bank. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches. It is true. Bless the Lord, I know it's true. My doubts are forever settled, for I know it's true. In the 123rd Psalm, I was reading from the Jewish rendition of it. We say, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." The Jewish translation is somewhat different. See, as they were going to the Passover and they had to pass by the hills, they would look up and they would see heathen gods being worshipped. Gods of fertility, gods of riches and everything. Gods of protection. But as they walked along, they would sing, Shall I lift up mine eyes unto those hills? From whence cometh my help? It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So today I'm going to sing my song. Don't worry, I won't sing it loud because you'd run out, Jerry. Shall I lift up mine eyes to Capitol Hill or to Gracie Mansion? From whence cometh my help? It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. You know, who lived in the age of Mr. Reagan and those things that were giving free things? They were cut off. Government may cancel the program, but the God of heaven will never cancel his riches to you and to me.
Yes,
will never cancel it.
Yes.
You can trust him. It was Fanny Crosby. She wrote over 800 hymns. I think she was paid $2 for some of them. You know, people can look at you and say, you're rich. Ever happened to you? Oh, they must have money. They're rich. When you know you don't have it. But her rent was due for $5. And she didn't have it. But she fell on her knees and she prayed. And as she prayed, someone knocked at her door and brought her $10. And she paid her rent. Oh, what a beautiful story she wrote about it. You know, how can she ever doubt? He said, can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, hereby faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. They would lose a steed in Long Island. She had a young child, a young husband, a pastor. The future seemed so bright and glowing. And they went for a picnic on Long Island Sound. They saw a little boy floundering in the water. He went to rescue her, the boy, rescued the boy. The boy pulled him under, and he died. Louisa had to face the future with a young child. And perhaps you and I would be just, I don't know how you'd feel about it. You'd call it ill luck, bad luck, whatever it is. But from that you wrote that song, a beautiful hymn. And you sang it this morning, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Yes.
Just to take him at his word.
Yes.
Just to rest upon his promises. Just to know, thus saith the Lord, I will not leave you comfortless. I will be with you. There was Spicer. Have you read the book that I think, A Leader of Men? In Australia, they went there and they saw this property. They wanted to buy it for the church. But somehow, they didn't have all the money. But the lady loaned them $600, I think it was. And they bought the property. But then she returned and said, I need my money. I wanted it. They didn't have it to give her. But they went in prayer. And they went to the bank after closing hours. You see, Christians do some things unlike other people would do. And the bank door was open. They walked and the man said, how do you get into this bank? I locked the door myself. How could you get into the bank? They said, it was open. He said, it could not be. I locked it. Well, what do you want? They told him what they wanted, £600. She said, you can have it. So they went back to pay the lady her money. When she heard the story, she said, no, take it. I don't want it. Take it. God moves in mysterious ways.
Yes, he does.
His wonders to perform. When in the hour of crisis, we can pray, oh Lord, our God, we wait on you. And in thy multitude, we go against this multitude. When the way is dark, we need not fear. He's on our side. The old Greek philosopher used to say, if I were given three things, it would be possible physically and scientifically to move the earth off its axis. Give me a strong standing place out in yonder space, Give me a fulcrum. Give me a lever strong enough, and I will move the world. We Christians have a standing place. We sing the song, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. Didn't Jesus declare, upon this rock I build my church? He wasn't speaking of this building. It was you and I. I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I used to tell the story of my older brother. He was tall and big and strong, and I was skinny. When other fellows look at me, I'd run. But when I walk with my brother, I would look at them and smile. I just smile. Okay, with big brother Henry, come on now. And they would come, good morning, Mr. Morgan, to my brother. And I would smile. When I walk with the king, he's on my side. Then I must have this confidence, the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. The sovereignty of God. He's a sovereign God. And daily sometimes, my wife doesn't know what I'm doing. You don't tell her everything sometimes. See, my prayer time is 3 o'clock in the morning. She knows it. She doesn't say anything. I sneak in my study. And when I'm faced with crisis, there's a text I turn to, Deuteronomy 33. And I think verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge. Amen. And underneath are his everlasting arm. Now, we know he's above us, don't we? Yes. But underneath his everlasting arm. That means I cannot fall. Amen. His arms are there. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Judah shall be upon a land of corn and wine, and his heavens shall dump dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, thy shield and thy help? Who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars on thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Who is like unto him? The eternal God is thy refuge. Can you feel that? Can you experience that? No evil can overtake you, because eternal God is thy refuge. We have the fulcrum, the fellowship of Christ. With him and by him, we can overcome all things. We have a lever, the power of the Holy Spirit, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We can, we will, we must master the storm and conquer the enemy. O Lord, our God, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. What do the powers of darkness stir up the elements from beneath us? The Lord God of heaven is sending forth power to meet every emergency. I must hasten to tell you, the clock is looking at me, and I'm looking at the clock. There was this young fellow. He wanted to go to school. It was college time. And to me and to you, perhaps, it would seem to border on I won't say insanity, but not good sense. He didn't have any money. But the mother said, I'm praying for you. And on the day of registration, she gave him a little money for the bus fare and a little extra to go on to school. Well, he went, maybe you saw it on the line on the media. A friend of mine told me the story, he saw it. He went to the college. They were standing in the line marching up to register. And when it was a few steps before him, The gentleman came and said, come with me, boy, young man. Is your name? He said, yes, sir. He said, come with me. He said, come with me. Well, he thought they found out the truth. Come in my office, sit down. He said, I don't know who did it. I don't know how it happened, but someone has sent money to pay for you for 4 years in college. He said, don't ask me who sent it. I don't know, but the money's here. 4 years of college. Oh, for a feet that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe. Yes. Young people, I know what it is in college, perhaps in academy, where you have to work and listen for the check to come from home, and you don't have it. But the banks of heaven are never closed. Yes. And you can say like King the King, O Lord, our God, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. The distractions of life are many. The demands are many. The demands of the past and the demands of the future are upon us. But we must trust the Lord. Well, we are told by the prophet Isaiah, those that wait upon the Lord, O Lord, O God, wait upon you, the king prayed. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, the eagle never worry about the mountains and the rivers and the hard knocks in life. He soars above them. And so you and I, let's stop worrying about what is before us. With the wings of faith, we can climb higher and higher above them. I know many of us who went through school, many of young people, and some of you older people, you didn't have it. And you wondered what the future holds for you. What will the future hold for you? I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. God holds the future. God himself is our captain. It's over in the 2 Chronicles. We'll find a text there. God himself is our captain. When the enemies are around your right and left, you can repeat it. O Lord, our God, we wait on you. You are our captain. We cannot lose. In Sabbath school this morning, I came in the last part and I heard a phrase and I could say amen, but I didn't shout. God is your captain, and the child that leans upon the arm of God cannot be defeated, will not be defeated, for God has the plans of your life, and he will see through. Yes. O Lord, our God, we wait on you, and in thy multitude, we go against this multitude.
Like a king upon his throne, I'm never left here alone. I have a friend who walks with me every day, and all that he asks me to do, just trust in him and remain true. If I obey Jesus, he'll roll those burdens away. All away, all away, King Jesus, he'll roll those burdens away. If to him I pray, for he opens doors just for me, doors I'm unable to see. If I obey, Jesus will roll those burdens away. All away, all away, oh yes he will, King Jesus, he'll roll those burdens away, if to him I pray. For he's opened doors for me, doors I'm unable to see. If I obey Jesus, he'll roll those burdens away.
I'm not making an altar call this morning, but I'd like you, if you really believe that he's able to take your burdens and to open doors for you, then I'll read for you this text. And you may say amen. I don't ask people to say amen, but if you agree, you can say amen. O Lord, our God, for we rest under thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, we can put our problems. O Lord, thou art God. Let not man prevail against us. Let not the problems of life destroy us. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing number 365.
May the Spirit of God that brought Christ from the dead resurrect to our aching spirits and lift to our souls high this morning. May his Spirit be with us to guide, to lead, and to direct. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.